We did get a Canada Council grant at one point. What happened is Intermedia moved around too, and it ended up in a house. Actually, it was a house that had, it was the manse, and there was a church and a church hall associated with it. And part of Intermedia's mandate was multi-use. So there are all kinds of people using the church as a performance space and the hall for all kinds of different things. And so we set up a press in the basement. They would have these make-work programs, and some arts groups were able to take advantage of them. So you were able to hire people at absolute minimum wage. And, you know, and somebody had to administrate it. We had one of these summer workshop programs in the basement of the house for the press. John and Henry and I had bought this quite large 18 by 24 inch press, which was a real pig. Never got it working right. And the grant was to do printing for community organizations at cost. And basically the grant paid our salaries. And the community organizations paid the materials. So we started to build up a bit of a clientele. We had to buy a small offset press to actually do the work, because the big offset press didn't work right. Then we moved to the storefront, where we did the same thing, really, except we didn't really make any money, but I don't know how we existed there.
But you're talking about DIY, you're talking about being an entrepreneur, you're talking about taking advantage of the resources that were available. The Canada Council was a lot more generous. Also the fact that, you know, the cost of living was one-tenth, one-twentieth of what it is now. So by nature of all these things and learning how to get by and to appreciate what you have, you've been able to do this essentially all your life, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's right.
How did you end up here?
Well, to continue the story, at a certain point, we rented a loft warehouse as the press, and it was basically down to me and Henry. And Henry's wife had she managed a Mexican import store. So they went down to Mexico to buy stuff for the store. So I was left with the press. And during the time they were away, which was a month or so, I made hardly any money. And when he came back, he had no money. So we decided, you know, we had a choice, sell the equipment for a few $100 and get jobs, or get serious and start doing commercial printing. So we started doing commercial printing. We got serious, but we still, you know, we were paying ourselves like $40 a week or something. Just ridiculously low. But, you know, when your rent is $40 a month, $40 a week looked pretty good. So we started just printing, still printing poetry, but also doing commercial printing, because as publishers, we could print a hell of a lot more than we could sell. So that excess capacity, we turned to doing commercial printing. And I started taking courses at the vocational school. I'm also a journeyman printer. I took courses at the vocational school to learn how to do color, because we wanted color covers for our books, of course. And we tried doing them ourselves, but it was just too difficult.
Who were some of the poets that you were publishing and who were active in that community?
Well, Judy Copplethorne, for one. Avron Hoffman. Actually, we've sort of had a bit of a reputation as publishing American expatriates. So Avron was American. Stanley Cooperman, Fred Candelaria, both taught up at SFU. We were not opposed, but we were sort of the downtown component, or the downtown poets, and Tisch was the UBC poets. You know, we weren't really aligned with Tisch and Tisch poets. We knew them.
Jerry Gilbert,
Maxine Gadd. I think Jerry is one of the most underrated poets that Canada has produced. Bill Bissett, another, he's a good poet. And, you know, other people that came out of the woodwork. I can't think of them now, but anyhow, we published probably 65 books of poetry altogether. And it was very, you know, it was really quite engaging.
You still have copies of some of those books?
Oh, yeah. I've got copies of all of them, to tell the truth. So, to continue the story. So the commercial printing, we got quite good at the commercial printing. And it started to take over. So at a certain point, we split. I became the publisher, and Henry became the commercial printer. But of course, as publisher, I had to use Intermedia's printing. And as Intermedia's skill qualities went up, the prices went up, and I couldn't afford myself.
Ain't that a bitch?
So in about 1981, we came to an agreement that we'd stop publishing and just do commercial printing. So for 7 years, I did that. And I was the scheduler and the foreman, and Henry was the salesman. And we did very well. We purchased a building. We had two big presses, then finally bought a really large German-made two-color press, a Heidelberg, and we had a small German-made four-color press. Like, we had really good equipment, really good. And the big press was so nice. You know, most print shops, when they print a book, an 8.5 by 5.5 book, they print 8 pages on a sheet, on a side, and on the other 16. Because the folding becomes the collating. But our press could print 24 pages. So we had to get a special map folder to do the folding. And we had, at one point, we had, all this stuff was secondhand, of course. At one point we had a perfect binder, but it never really worked well for us. So at a certain point we started jobbing the binding out. And we never did color separations, we jobbed them out. We had a really good print shop when I left. I left in 88. And we had like 22 people working there. And several of them were in the union, but we weren't a union shop. So we gave them union wages and benefits. And from my perspective, they were fantastic. These people were just such professionals that, you know, I have a deep respect for unions. Even though we didn't really want to be a union shop, they paid their wages, they were able to pay their dues to the union and remain members of the union. And we gave them union benefits. But it wasn't a union shop, and there were only one, two, three of them. They were like the foremen in their areas, pre-press, press, and bindery. And they taught younger people. So we taught a lot of people, because at first we were, you know, when we first hired people, we hired our friends, of course. And you teach them, and then they'd get bored or tired or want to do something else, so you'd have to hire somebody else. But eventually, we hired really good people, and then we had the union guys to mentor them.